Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an unbelievable treat we have today. Steve Nesbitt has just this illustrious career in the Air Force as a PJ, but what he's done after service is really what we want to talk about today. The president and co-founder of Shields and Stripes. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pretty wild connection that you and I have, and having been introduced to each other, and we happen to actually be living pretty close to each other, and pretty crazy.
Yeah, we literally almost live like right down the road. It is absolutely wild.
Small world.
Steve, where I want to start today is there's a quote that you said I think is extremely profound. I kind of want you to open up a little bit about it. You talked about making your team follow you because they want to, not because they have to. Where did that come from?
And it's a really good question. So when I joined and finished the pipeline to become a PJ or a pararescueman, and I got to my first unit.
How long is the pipeline, just so the Sixers know?
Back when I first joined, it was ran between 2 and 3 years. And most guys are finishing at 3 years because there was a backup in dive school. And the whole point of the indoctrination course, which I started with 120 and finished with 12, the whole point of that was pre-scuba, to be able to get into dive school, and that's your pre-scuba prep. Well, the dive school was so backed up, and we used to go to Marine Corps dive and Army Special Forces dive, and there was only so many Air Force slots. So guys were doing their free fall courses, they're doing survival evasion, they're doing underwater survival, they're doing airborne and paramedic, all these other courses before dive school. So they did their pre-scuba, they do these courses, and then they go to dive school and fail at dive school because they had a year and a half of losing all the gains they made at Indoc. So that backlog was tremendous. So when I finished that, the whole pipeline, and I went to my first units, these weren't leaders. These were people that managed people underneath of them. And as I started learning these lessons of like, man, that's not the leader I want to be. That's not who I want to follow. And I went from one unit to the next, where I started actually taking over as a leader, a young leader myself at that first unit, and figuring it out and gaining confidence. I went to this new unit and I immediately took over a leadership role inside that unit. And I made it a point to not just get to know them as an operator, but to get to know them as an individual and who they are, and really bring the team together. That, like, my philosophy, at least my style of leadership, was much one of, if you weren't doing what everybody else was doing and you were being different, like that was not good. And it's not like we were doing unhealthy things. It was, we were out working out. When we went to the gym, we all went to the gym together. When we went to the chow hall, especially on deployment, we all went together. Everybody did things together. If you weren't doing stuff together, especially on my team, I made it a point to outline, hey, man, why are you separating yourself from the rest of the flock? And so I went out and I found and I brought that individual back into the flock. So it was very important for me to gain their trust, to do the stuff that they're doing and more. So I was always the first to show up and I was always the last to leave. And I was taking care of all the paperwork that they didn't want to. And then I made a point that to show that I could still outplay them, I could outdo them, and whatever it was, at least skill wise, I could still hang with the guys, performance wise. So doing that really built that trust, and so it earned a lot of their respect. So it was very important that I made sure that it represented that these people would follow me because they chose to, not because they were given orders and I was just the guy above them. It's because these guys are like, that's the leader that I want to be. That's who I want to follow into combat.
How do you continue that mindset now at Shields and Stripes? which again, nonprofit, very different kind of organization, right? You're dealing with tier one operators, but you're still, you have a ton of high performers inside the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So I take that same concept, and really it comes down to taking the time. All things come down to time. What are you willing to put in? If something matters to you, you're going to put that time in. Well, I'm going to take the time to get to know each and every individual on my team. And I take that same concept. So when I had a team event with my team within the military, I bought them Christmas gifts. I bought them going away gifts. I made sure I checked up on them. I did favors for them. I did things for them to show that I cared. And it's the same way with my Shields and Stripe team. At no point do I ever showcase my position or my authority, my authoritative position over them. I'm a peer. I'm with them. And I'm in the trenches doing the same work they are. And I get to know each and every single one of them, what their pains are, how I can help them, how I can stay involved in their lives, you know, regardless of the situation. And I show grace. You know, I make sure I show them grace whenever there's a lesson to be learned. And I think a lot of our types get hung up on the failures or the word failure. And I call it a lesson learned because we've just learned a lesson. Yeah, like maybe this fundraiser didn't raise the amount of money that we wanted, but we learned a lesson. All right, here's how we change this. Here's how we do better next time. Here's like at no point am I going to get rid of the individual or hold anything against them. It's all right. Well, okay, this wasn't as successful as we wanted. Now we're going to change a few things here. So grace is really what it comes down to.
How do you allow yourself to have grace?
I always have to look in the mirror, and as I feel the stress creeping in, as I feel like the anxiety building and the things that I want to get done, all the tasks to get done, I have to remind myself that nobody's looking over my shoulder and saying, this needs to get done. Nobody's actually standing over my back and saying, if you don't get this done, this is going to happen or else. So there's always time, and regardless of where we're at, there's always answers to the solution. You just got to give it time. If I'm too stressed out, maybe got to step back and do something like work out, take a step away from the situation. Nothing is ever needing to get done that instant. You know, other than when the unit that I served at, and even then, very rarely does stuff have to get done right away. So I just have to remind myself that everything is going to be okay. And I even tell myself, you know, I say self, in 20 years, is this going to matter? No. Like in 50 years, is this going to matter? Like I'm going to be an old dude in 50 years hanging out. So just give yourself a break.
Was that a learned thing, or did someone like a parent or somebody in the military kind of say like, hey, you're a hard charger. We get it. But you really need to kind of dial it back, because if you can continue to go on this path, you're just going to burn out.
Yeah, that was experience and lessons learned in life. And I see it now with the guys that are still at the unit. I was the TL on it, and I prided myself as a TL.
TL being?
Team leader, the team leader of our group of guys. Yep. And so I prided myself in doing that. And with everything that you commit time to, there's going to be a sacrifice. And so with that sacrifice, my family took the sacrifice, right? They are the ones that sacrificed that time away from me, because even though I was at home after a deployment or a trip or whatever, I wasn't there. And I know there's a lot of people that say that.
You weren't present.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say like, oh, I wasn't present. Well, what does that even mean? Well, here's what that means. I was looking at the next trip, the next training evolution. I was thinking about each of the dudes on the team, what their requirements are, where their currencies are. Here's the jump trip. Here's I want this dude's path to be a lead jumper, so I'm going to guide him that way. I've got NCO Academy coming up. I have all these different things I'm thinking about and pathways for their career, for my career. So even when I was at home, I was sitting there with a notepad and pen and writing these things out, thinking about all these different solutions, and then even visualizing, all right, on this next deployment, who's going where with what team and where am I going to go? And okay, if I'm on that deployment, what's the most likely thing that can go wrong? So all the way from like this huge level of coordinating where guys are going, and then down to the very tactical of if a helicopter crashes or if there's a hostage and they take a multiple systems trauma and they're missing legs, what am I going to do? You know, like that's what a lot of my mental space was about, you know, was committing to that. And so the experience of that and the experience of losing teammates, that gives you perspective of what really matters, of the time that you have. You know, I deployed 10 times, and of those 10 times, 7 or 8 of them were during the summertime, which my son was born in the summer, so I missed most of his birthdays, and he didn't even know why. So there's a lot of perspective, and really what highlighted that perspective on what's important in life was on my last one. I was at, you know, it was a short notice deployment, and I'm standing out in the desert in a cold night, and I'm watching missiles fall in from space, and I'm wondering, what am I doing here? Like, what if these missiles hit me? Like, I've got a 3-year-old, 4-year-old daughter at home that just had her birthday. I need to be home with her. So yeah, it's that perspective.
It's crazy when that hits you because you don't see any of that coming until you're in that moment and you're just like, it's like a train.
Yeah, absolutely. It does hit you like a ton of bricks and starts weighing on you. Start realizing you're not invincible when your teammates start dying around you and accidents start happening. So it's something that'll start weighing on you.
How do you help yourself lift that weight off over time?
Now that I've separated myself, I've medically retired from the military with a diagnosis of PTSD. For me, letting go of that identity of who I was and understanding who I am was huge. I think all those things, my entire adult life was spent in the military, and they shaped me to who I am today, but that's not who I was.
That's not all of Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not Steve. That created, you know, a lot of parts of me, but who do I really want to be? And now I just created an opportunity of who I wanted to become with all those lessons learned. So, you know, I spent a lot of time making up for lost time with my kids, taking as much time with my family as possible. I work out pretty regularly. So that's part of what we do within Children's Stripes is get you on a healthy lifestyle, you know, not to, you know, there was a point where I was drinking heavily and I wasn't like waking up and alcoholic drinking. It was just like, hey, 2 beers used to get me going. Now it's 3, maybe now it's 4. And then it turned into like 5 and it's not who I wanted it to, who I wanted to be anymore. So start living a healthier lifestyle. That's what we teach at Shields and Stripes is, you know, strength conditioning coach, getting a good workout in. Nutrition. What is your nutrition goals? Where do you want to be? What should you be eating? Occupational therapy, learning different stress management, education on anger management, sleep hygiene. Sleep is very important, you know, especially for us with PTSD and TBIs and sleep apnea. I was 30 years old and diagnosed with sleep apnea. It's just, you know, I'm not obese. I'm a very fit individual and I got sleep apnea. And then physical therapy. A lot of us, you know, have nagging injuries throughout time, and take care of your body, and then your body will take care of you. And then lastly, your brain and your mind and understanding what's driving your depression and what does PTSD look like? Because for me, I didn't think I had PTSD. And I bet you this is very much like, you know, your listeners or the majority of the population that of the demographic we serve, of first responders and veterans, of, man, I'm not like those individuals on TV and in the movies where I'm waking up and I'm choking my wife or waking up and freaking out. Like, I don't have these visualizations everywhere. What my symptoms were was, and which I thought was normal, was I was irritable. I started losing communication with my family. And the first second I could, I would get loud, and you know, the response of me getting loud produced the output I wanted, which was everybody being quiet and I could control the situation. That's not healthy. I started having memory loss. I have sleep disorders. I didn't have nightmares. I had reoccurring dreams, which my psychologist was like, well, that's a nightmare. Even though it's not terrifying to you, it's a reoccurring dream you're having 5 to 6 nights a week over and over and over again. That's qualifies as a nightmare. And then depression and anxiety, all these symptoms that I didn't I didn't think about, and I was just like, well, that's just me being normal. And then take a step back, and I'm like, well, maybe that isn't normal. Maybe that's a symptom of PTSD, and maybe I need to go talk to somebody about this. And so that's what led to my process out of the military.
With all that you and the team do at Shields and Stripes, that's a lot, right? That's a whole holistic look at life. How do you kind of go into that? Because if you try to attack everything all at once, right, you're going to really get nowhere. So you have to be kind of targeted when you do it. What does that look like when someone enrolls into the program?
Yeah, so they apply online through our website, and then we screen them. And what we're screening them for is essentially, are there any acute symptoms that need to be taken care of right away that we can't handle? Like an individual that's on the edge of taking their life, and maybe there's somebody else who's more equipped to attend that individual before us. And so we'll get in touch with another organization that can meet those individuals' requirements. The second thing that they're looking for, that they being the therapists are looking for, is substance abuse. So we're not a detox center. We don't deal with substance abuse, but we will provide resources for the individual to take care of the substance abuse. We'll even cover some of the costs of getting there, some or all of the costs of getting to that center. So in hopes that you complete the program and then you can come back through our program. So once that selection process is done, they then enter into our program, which is really, it's a 3-month official program, but we really start, it's more like a year process. So we get in touch with them 2 months before the actual program starts, get the feel for who they are, what their needs are, and meet them where they are as far as, you know, their needs, what they need to do, their financial requirements, any issues that they may have. And then we send all that stuff to the agency that we work with or have a partnership with, which is EXOS. It's a performance institute, which typically works with pro athletes.
Phenomenal organization.
Yeah. Pretty lucky to have that in our hip pocket. So once they're taken in, we fly them out to one of the sites that are available to us. One right now is in Phoenix, Arizona. The other one's in Pensacola, Florida. They stay in a resort hotel, very nice lodging situation. And then they go to every day for 3 weeks, except for the weekends. The weekends are theirs. They'll go to EXOS. They'll do a strength conditioning program in the morning. They'll do nutrition education. They'll get a DEXA scan to figure out where their body composition lies. They will get goals on what their eating habits are going to be, where they want to be as far as body composition wise. They'll get fed on site. It's actually really good food from their chefs. And then they'll do physical therapy, and then they'll do occupational therapy, and then psych therapy, individual and group. And that's a period of 3 weeks every day, just honing in on getting themselves better, you know, faster, stronger, more lean, thinking the right way, attacking the poison of depression and anxiety. And then when they leave there, we'll do another 9 weeks of telehealth therapy. So we'll incorporate the family. We'll take a look inside their pantry. The dietitian we have on staff will help them build a nutrition plan. We have physical therapists on staff that when they leave there, they'll walk out of there with Therabody equipment, so a Theragun and some smart goggles, and then they'll also have a PT kit. So if they don't have anything in their home gym or anything like that, we send them home with bands and stuff like that. And so the physical therapist can work with them, and they'll have a strength conditioning coach available to them, and then they'll have their therapist available to them. So it's a continued process, full 3 months, 3 weeks in person, 9 weeks of telehealth. And then once they do finish the program and that full 3 months, we'll still keep up with them. You know, life happens. We understand more traumas can take place. So we have follow-up. And if there's any care that needs to take care, that needs to happen afterwards, we stay plugged in and help them out in that instance.
And that in itself is incredible, because you've incorporated not just the individual, but the support, right? Not only your support staff, but the support around that individual to bring the family in, because it's very hard for people with PTSD and other trauma that have experienced, whether it's a first responder, law enforcement, or in the military, to really kind of open up at first, because you're like, nothing's wrong, everything's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, everyone loves and cares about you. We're in this together, right? And it's not like you've left a team. You still have a team that wants to continue to support you.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'll touch on that. The individuals who see that the symptoms of PTSD first are the family. They're the ones that are going to see those symptoms before you do. And typically, when they see those things and they're like, hey, why are you getting so angry so fast? And our natural reaction in our career fields is to get upset that this person's telling me that I'm upset. And it takes a little bit of humility to sit back and listen and just take a step back and listen to what your significant other is saying and going, man, maybe this person's right. And maybe they're not attacking me, and maybe they're trying to help me. And even though it sounds like an attack, and I give an example of what really led to me seeking help was, you know, I was more comfortable getting shot at than I was at home with my kids, especially when they were younger, and the screaming and the yelling and the fighting. And I didn't know how to handle it, especially going overseas, TDY, coming back. And it was too much. And I didn't know how to control it. And the only way to control it was to get loud and to get angry and to get intimidating. And that's not healthy, but that's what I did. And my wife, one day, after I had gotten upset, she sat me down after I kind of cooled down and was like, sat down next to me and said, you know, I don't want to make you upset, but, you know, the boys are scared of you and I don't want them to be scared of you anymore. And man, that was a really, really hard pill to swallow and a kick in the gut that is like, man, you're right. And I need to do something about that. And had she asked any or like said that any other time, I don't know, it was that specific moment at that specific time that it had to be said because I was willing to listen. Otherwise, any other time, I wouldn't have listened. So if somebody if this sounds familiar to you, maybe it is that time to take a little look in the mirror and maybe figure out ways to do better.
Absolutely. Steve, how are you better today than yesterday?
Yesterday, I'll take a different context. Yesterday to me is my military career. Better today, I'm sleeping a lot better. You know, physically, I've let go a lot of the things I can't control and focus on the things I can control. I'll get into a little bit of faith here, but I grew up believing and having faith in you know, I was a Catholic when I grew up, and then I deployed a bunch and I watched a lot of people do some terrible things to people according to their religion because that's what they believed in. And I thought, man, how could this be happening and God be controlling that? How could this be a thing? And so I lost faith. And it wasn't until my friend and teammate passed away during a training iteration and he was very in tune and in touch with his faith as a Christian. And at his funeral, he was speaking. There's a video that was played. And that video was him talking about his experience at the Virginia Tech massacre. And his friend was killed in that. And he wasn't there. And he took a lot of the blame and guilt and shame that goes with it. And he started describing his experience and blaming God and these different things. And while he's talking, this is the first time I'd heard him talk since he passed away in this training accident. And all the things he was saying were the things I was experiencing at that very moment. And it was like he was saying these things to me from the other side because I was the team leader when he passed away. It was my training iteration. I felt responsible. I treated him. And so as he's speaking and it's like he's talking to me, man, it was like, all right, I'll give this another shot and I'll explore what Peter was so devout in and I'll do it for him. And then as I started to explore that pathway, the one thing that all the treatment of therapy and all those other things that I described, the one thing it did not help was forgiveness for myself. It didn't matter who you were. There's nothing anybody could say to make me forgive myself. So when I started down this pathway of rediscovering my faith or discovering this newfound faith, it was through that I was able to find forgiveness for myself and the things that I could not control. So how am I better today is now I'm, I guess newfound in faith, and I'm living the way that Peter would have liked to have had me live.
Absolutely. Living on for those that we've lost along the way is the best way that we can honor those that we've served with. Steve, where can people go to connect with you and learn more about Shields and Stripes?
Yeah, for sure. We have a website, www.shieldsandstripes.org. On there, you can find opportunities to apply. We do have a contact email address. Feel free to shoot that an email if you have questions. And then if there's any donors out there, if you feel obligated to assist with donating to helping individuals go through this current cohort or these next coming cohorts, there's not the option to donate there. We do have actually a cohort starting on Monday next week. So we have 8 individuals starting this journey, and then we'll have another one in August. So if you are looking for ways to help, that helps tremendously. I will say none of us get paid out of this. I don't take a salary. None of the members of the team take a salary. This goes towards the individuals going through the cohort, going through the program, looking for help, getting the services they need.
Steve, thank you for sharing your methods, your tactics, your strategies, and thank you for what you're doing for servicemen and women, first responders, law enforcement. It means a lot to me, the Sixers, and most importantly, thanks for having our Six today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. It was rapid fire, and I loved it.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuilt.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.